NASA selects a manager for the shuttle landing facility. Embraer executive jets Phenom 300 to spread its wings in China. And JetBlue pilots are getting iPads. This is Aero News for Monday, July 1st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA has selected Space Florida, the Aerospace Economic Development Agency for the state of Florida, for negotiations toward a partnership agreement to maintain and operate the historic shuttle landing facility. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden and the director of NASA's Kennedy Space Center, Robert Cabana, announced the selection during a news conference Friday at Kennedy's Visitor Complex in Florida. The SLF shuttle landing facility, specially designed for space shuttles returning to Kennedy, opened for flights in 1976. The concrete runway is 15,000 feet long and 300 feet wide. The SLF is capable of handling all types and sizes of aircraft and horizontal launch and landing vehicles. NASA issued a request for information to industry back in 2012 to identify new and innovative ways to use the facility for current and future commercial and government mission activities. Space Florida's proposal is aligned closely with Kennedy's vision for creating a multi-user spaceport. Commenting on the agreement, Bolden said, quote, "This agreement will continue to expand Kennedy's viability as a multi-user spaceport and strengthen the economic opportunities for Florida and the nation. It also continues to demonstrate NASA's commitment and progress in building a strong commercial space industry so that American companies are providing safe, reliable, and cost-effective transportation to and from the International Space Station and other low-Earth orbit destinations." End quote. Embraer executive jets announced Thursday that a Phenom 300 light executive jet will join the fleet of China Airdos General Aviation Company Limited in the third quarter of 2013, marking the first aircraft of this model sold in the Chinese market. The Phenom 300 was certified by the Civil Aviation Administration of China last November. Established in 2003, Airdos General Aviation is one of the top five companies in China's growing general aviation industry. Its 19 aircraft fleet has accumulated more than 30,000 flight hours and over 12,800 cycles. JetBlue is the latest airlines to move to an electronic flight bag based on the Apple iPad. Following a successful trial phase with approximately 60 pilots over several months, the FAA has approved and JetBlue has begun giving all 2,500 pilots a fourth-generation 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi-capable Apple iPad. While JetBlue has been approved for a decade to use a PC-based laptop in the cockpit, called an electronic flight bag, the iPads will offer new capabilities and conveniences, especially as JetBlue implements Ka-band satellite Wi-Fi. Jeff Martin, Senior Vice President of Operations for JetBlue, said, quote, "The iPads will have real-time weather capability and the ability to update safety and flight documents securely. We expect to add digital chart capability once it is approved," end quote. With JetBlue's coming Ka-band satellite capability enabled by live TV, pilots will be able to download weather imagery in seconds, enabling them to make decisions to help improve the customer experience. JetBlue will implement iPad use during the next 3 months to ensure a safe transition. Plans to replace Canada's aging fleet of Sea King Helos suffered another setback recently as Canada's Public Works Minister, Rona Ambrose, has hired an outside consultant to evaluate Sikorsky's ability to deliver new helicopters to the Canadian Defense Department. Sikorsky won a contract to provide 28 CH-148 Cyclone helicopters to Canada in 2004 to replace the country's 50-year-old Sea King Helos. The contract is reportedly worth $1.8 billion to Sikorsky for the aircraft, and that includes a 20-year maintenance and support clause worth $3.2 billion. But the Canadian Broadcasting Company recently raised new questions about the contract, prompting the hiring of the consultant, who has not as yet been identified by Ambrose. The Canadian government first looked at replacing those Sea Kings all the way back in 1992. Well, any naval aviator will tell you that making landings called traps on an aircraft carrier are, well, challenging. Now, landing on an aircraft carrier is a bit safer, thanks to the Joint Precision Approach and Landing System, or JPALS, team from the Naval Air Traffic Management Systems Program Office. JPALS is an all-weather landing system that uses a global positioning system and navigation systems to safely land both land and sea-based aircraft. JPALS completed its first round of testing aboard the USS George H.W. Bush in late May. The 52-person team spent 11 days aboard the carrier testing the latest JPALS software with two F/A-18C Hornets, an MH-60S helicopter, and a modified Beechcraft King Air. JPALS is expected to undergo further sea tests later this summer, and in the end is hoped to achieve tremendously improved landing accuracy. Piper Aircraft and Red Bull Team Chambliss are combining forces at this year's EAA Air Venture. Piper will display Team Chambliss's company transport support airplane, a Piper Meridian, along with Kirby Chambliss's aerobatic Edge 540, one of the flight attractions at Oshkosh. Kirby Chambliss uses the Piper Meridian for business transportation as he travels to and from Red Bull exhibitions in his aerobatic aircraft. The chief pilot and team owner flies the Meridian about 200 to 250 hours annually, and he says he appreciates the pressurization, fuel economy, speed, and altitude capabilities of the M-class Piper turboprop. In addition, Chambliss, a two-time Red Bull Air Race World Champion, will be on hand Wednesday and Friday at Oshkosh to sign autographs and talk with fans at the Piper exhibit. When Aero News continues, the NTSB is unlikely to reopen the TWA 800 case. If you're a modeler, circle August 17th on your calendar. And ET can now phone home using PayPal.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Monday, July 1st. I'm Glenn Moyer. A former member of the NTSB says that it's unlikely that the board will reopen its investigation of the TWA Flight 800, despite a call from documentary producers for it to do so. John Goglia, who served two terms on the board from 1995 through 2004, told The Street that since the request went through official channels, the board will do some preliminary work focusing on the radar tracks from the accident. But he said, quote, "I don't think from what I've seen that they've met the threshold," end quote. The TWA Flight 800 investigation lasted 4 years and remains one of the NTSB's most detailed investigations. The NTSB's docket, which has been available to the public since the late 1990s, contains more than 17,000 pages of supporting material. The documentary producers say that they have new evidence and eyewitnesses that say the Boeing 747 was possibly brought down accidentally by a missile and that the information has been covered up. If you're a fan of model airplanes and/or live in Indiana, you'll want to circle August 17th in red on your calendar. Why? Well, Indiana Governor Mike Pence has declared August 17, 2013, as Model Aviation Day. National Model Aviation Day has been established by the Academy of Model Aeronautics, the country's foremost organization for model aviation, to celebrate the history of model aviation and to promote the hobby on a national scale. The Academy will celebrate Indiana Model Aviation Day at its national headquarters in Muncie, Indiana, along with AMA chartered clubs across the country. Each of the participating clubs will promote model aviation and the many benefits of participating in the hobby. This nationwide event will also serve as a fundraiser to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. In space, no one can hear the cash register ring. Until now. PayPal has announced the launch of PayPal Galactic, an initiative that addresses the issues to help make universal space payments a reality. PayPal Galactic brings together leaders in the scientific community, including the SETI Institute, that's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and Space Tourism Society, to prepare and support the future of space commerce. The announcement with PayPal President David Marcus and astronaut and author Buzz Aldrin took place Thursday at the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California. Think PayPal is getting just a bit ahead of itself? Already the need for a galactic payment system exists. Astronauts inhabiting space stations still need to pay for life's necessities, from their bills back on Earth to their entertainment, like music and e-books while in space. John Spencer, founder and president of the Space Tourism Society, adds, quote, "Within 5 to 10 years, the earliest types of space hotels and orbital and lunar commerce will be operational and in need of a payment system," end quote. The announcement was part of PayPal's 15th anniversary. So, does anyone know the Klingon word for cha-ching? I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.